Good evening, brothers. I must say that was some engaged worship, so it's a good start. All right, let's jump in. We're going to read from Psalm 89, verse 1 through to 16. I'm not going to read all the verses for the sake of time, but you will find it on the screen, the ones we will be looking at. All right, Psalm 89, verse 1. It says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Verse 6. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord, who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. You rule over the surging seas. When its waves mount up, you still them. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that's in it. You created the north and the south. Tzalbor and Hermon sing for joy at your name. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong, your right hand exalted. And then verse 15 and 16, the ones we will be focusing on for tonight. It says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness. It's a wonderful piece of scripture. And then verse 1 through to 14 just reminds us how incredible God is. Eh? And you know, when we stand in awe of God, that inspires us to worship Him. But let's unpack verse 15, which we will be looking at for tonight. Firstly, it says blessed. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? Who knows the... Creswell. Blessed. It's happy. Absolutely. It's happy, and it's happy no matter the circumstance. So it's a happiness that transcends your job worries. It's a happiness that transcends your career worries, your financial worries, your marriage problems. It's beautiful. It's a serene joy. And I don't know about you, but I want to know how to get more of that. Amen. So who will be blessed? Who will have this serene joy? It's those who do things, learned to acclaim you, and secondly, who walk in the light of your presence. So the first part, what does acclaim mean? Definition of acclaim says, it's to praise enthusiastically and publicly. It's interesting, eh? So acclaiming God is not necessarily reserved for my room or when I'm alone. The definition thereof includes praising God publicly. Synonyms, applaud, cheer, express approval of, express admiration for. And we can obviously do this in words, saying this to God, or singing it, as we saw in verse 1. Then it says learned. So does acclaiming God come naturally? Maybe it does for some. But I think for the most of us, it's something that we actually need to learn. So I really want to encourage us tonight, brothers, let's have a learning spirit and let's learn what it means to acclaim God. So do you want serene joy in your life? Learn to praise God enthusiastically and also publicly. Who else will be blessed according to the scripture? It says those who walk in the light of your presence. Okay, it says those with a daily walk with God, who is aware of His presence, and God's presence brings light into their lives. What is the response of those blessed people who feel the serene joy, who walk with God, who learn to acclaim them? What does it say? They rejoice in your name all day long. Now, what do you like when you look like when you rejoice over something? Happy. I see a few smiles. And I've seen a few of you rejoicing over good golf shots, you know. So there's excitement. The definition says great joy or delight. Some synonyms for rejoicing is elation, it's cheer, jubilation, euphoria. You know, this is not sitting around smiling. This is, I mean, you can sense some passion and you can sense some emotion. So guys, this goes much further than intellectual belief in God, eh? You see that passion, you see that fire. So what do they rejoice in? The latest TV series? latest app on their phones, about their careers. Sorry? Yeah. They rejoice in God. You know, God, above all other things, is their joy. And is rejoicing reserved for our quiet times or when we are together on a Sunday morning? No. It says all day long. So you see the lifestyle. And lastly, it talks again about celebration. Again, how do you celebrate? What do you look like when you celebrate? Now, the definition says to acknowledge a significant or a happy event with a social gathering or an enjoyable activity. So again, you see excitement, but again, you see social gathering, eh? So we don't only celebrate on our own, you include people, you celebrate with people. And then it's that feeling of what we have on a Sunday morning when we come together to worship. But we are here tonight to talk a little bit more practical about Sunday morning worship. So let's unpack what these means in terms of that. Why do you guys think we feel this serene joy when we praise God? We were created for it, absolutely. I think Chris also saw my notes. I mean, we were created to bring God glory through the way we live, through our daily deeds, and through the words we say, and I mean, singing those words to the same tune. So it's what we were made to do. We were made to reflect glory to God through our actions, through our words, through singing. It's what the angels do 24/7. They do it all day long. It's what we were made to do. Guys, it's a critical component to our relationship with God. Worship is not a time filler on a Sunday morning or sort of an intro before the sermon starts. It's a critical part of your relationship with God. Sunday morning is also not coming to watch a show. It is coming there to engage for you to praise your God. So it's the way God made us. Secondly, there's tremendous personal benefits to worship. Now, Psalm 63 says it satisfies our souls. It's a great scripture. Guys, you know, it's amazing. Praising God lifts our mood. And the reason it does that is it takes our eyes off our problems, the way I'm feeling today, what I've been thinking about, and it literally puts my eyes on God, who He is, His character, His promises. It gives perspective. It encourages faith. Right. And I think about the song we sing, He is higher than the mountains that I face. One thing remains. You know, in the Psalms, it's amazing. There's quite a few accounts when David faced problems. He didn't first go to God and pray about the problem. Firstly, he praised God. So you see it time and time again, you know, and I think often for myself when I've got a problem, I pray about it, but I pray about the problem. And as I focus on the problem. But David, time and time and again, he praised God first when he was downcast, when he was facing problems. And that gave him perspective. So guys, I think important, worship is not reserved for when you are feeling cheerful. You know, it's not like we hum a song or you whistle when you're feeling cheerful. When you feel downcast, when you face many problems, it is worship that will take you out of that downcast mood because the focus is God and not our problems. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I just love it when science discovers things which has been in the Bible or sort of part of God's principles all along. Eh? So neuroscientists discovered that when we praise God or when we are grateful, the amygdala part of our brains, apparently that is the part that perceives danger. It is the part where the fight, flight response comes from. And literally the activity in that part of our brains reduces when we praise God and when we are grateful. And then we've got the prefrontal cortex. That is the part where we make decisions, it's problem solving, and it's actually also the empathy part of our brains. The activity in that part actually fires up when we praise God and when we are grateful. It's incredible. So guys, there's a tremendous personal benefit to praise God. And finally, it benefits others. Now, when we sing together on a Sunday morning, we encourage our wives. We encourage our sisters. We encourage our friends who's visiting church about who God is. You know, think of a song, Your Love Never Fails. You know, we encourage one another with it. So Sunday mornings can be such a blessing if we all engage. Amen?
Amen.
Then if you look at the scripture again, what's the word that sort of jumps off the page? I'll make it easier for you because it's Wednesday night. It's you, it's God, eh? So what is it all about? It's about God. It's not about us. So the manner in which I engage when I worship is not a function of how much I enjoy the song or the type of music. It is about choosing to worship God and give Him praise. The guy's still here, still feeling strong. Let's talk about the learning part. You know, the Bible says it can be learned. And let me share something from my side. Guys, praising God definitely didn't come naturally to me. You know, I've always felt very grateful, I think, for what God, for who God is and what Jesus has done. But to say the words to sort of a father, heavenly father figure felt weird to me. I didn't really resonate with that. I think in the same tune, you know, when you do the Bible studies and you learn how to pray, there's that little component there, praising God. It felt weird. It didn't come naturally to me. And even sometimes reading the Psalms, you know, you read these emotional connections, these emotional accounts, and also that, it didn't necessarily resonate with me personally. So I'm with you in this journey. You know, it's praising God is definitely something I had to learn, and it's something I'm still learning every day. I think in the same way, the worship team, I just want to commend them, you know. I think they work very hard to learn how to acclaim God and to facilitate the church to be able to do the same. So appreciate you guys. So let's continue to have a learning spirit, eh?
Amen.
I mean, I want to encourage you. I mean, study it out in the Bible. Read a book. Talk to someone. Practice it on a Sunday morning. But it's something that we need to learn over time. Amen.
Amen.
So let's get a bit more practical. So the big question, I guess, is what does engaged worship look like? Or what are we talking about? Now, I think as brothers, we can probably relate to this. I mean, what you see here is you see passion. You see engagement. I don't think you have to tell any one of those guys, you know, please remember to be engaged. Now, you see the national anthem. You see people in the crowd. You see the haka. You see Bafana doing their jive. You know, you see passion, you see engagement. And I think we can resonate with that. The question is, how do we pull that into worship? Guys, I think as we said, you know, we looked at the definitions of acclaim, of rejoice and celebrate. And if you study worship in the Bible, the overwhelming feeling is expressive, it's passion, it's joyful. It's definitely not disengaged. So I think when we are disengaged, there's sometimes barriers in our hearts that we need to deal with and figure out what those is. Again, I'll share from my side. I grew up in quite a conservative church where worship was quiet. It was disengaged. It was, I would say, heartless. And then I also had a stint of a few years in a evangelical church, Pentecostal, charismatic. So that was completely the other side of the spectrum. So that was noisy, it was big, it was, so it seemed nice, but then I also saw guys putting up their hands while they sing, and then walking out the door and lighting a smoke, or hoeing 10 swear words after, you know, sort of stringing them together. So I really had this battle in my heart, you know, what should worship be like? You know, should it be reserved and quiet and reverent? Or should it be expressive? I mean, expressive looks right, but I mean, what if I'm fake? You know, and how do you sort of reconcile those? So again, it's something that I really had to study out quite a bit in the Bible. And I think the bottom line is, guys, that worship in the Bible is authentic. It's definitely not fake, but it is passionate. And it was a barrier in my heart that I need to work through. All right, so let's get even more practical. So what is acceptable or normal worship according to the scriptures? First one is for Reinhard. who shared with me that he's worried about the quality of his voice. So point number one, and I guess this is probably the most important, guys, it's all about heart and passion. It's not what you sound like. It's not what you look like if you feel like breaking down in a dance before the Lord. It's all about heart. What else is acceptable? Using various instruments. Dancing with all your might before God. Clapping of hands. Shouting to God with cries of joy. You know, I think if someone were to shout hallelujah while we worship, I think that will, you know, a lot of people will frown upon that. And it feels like that's quite charismatic. But it's a cry of joy. You know, cries of joys are biblical. Lifting of hands, it's biblical. Maybe lifting your eyes up to heaven while you're singing a song to God and thinking about Him. Kneeling down in reverence. Noise can be noisy and jubilant and exciting and celebratory, but you can also be silent. Closing your eyes while you sing. So, I mean, on the one hand, you see the guy, he's expressive. I mean, his hands are in the air, but to the same tune, your eyes can be closed. You can see that lady, she's engaged. Man, she's thinking about God. She's not thinking about lunch or, you know, her week kind of thing. Emotion, tears. How about shedding a tear when we sing a song that really impacts you about the cross? And looking at each other while we sing a song. Singing, let us go and praise the Lord. I mean, nothing wrong. We're encouraging one another, saying, come on, guys, let us go and praise the Lord. Looking at each other. I mean, it's normal. If we encourage one another, I would look at my brother. So if I sing that, I mean, why not look at him? Guys, so these are all biblical ways to worship God. And I want to make it very clear. Our goal is not to be fake. It's very easy to walk away tonight and say, I'm going to engage, and on Sunday I'm going to put my hand in the air. But again, I'm thinking about lunch, I'm thinking about, you know, the movie I'm going to watch at night. It's not about that. It's about heart, it's about passion, being authentic. You know, you can be on fire just tapping your foot, but man, you're in there, you know? And it looks different. It will look different for my brother Brent. We love you, Brent. And it will look different for my brother Alistair, who I think is probably more expressive than the most of us. So it looks different for everyone, but it's heart. So I think I want to just reiterate, guys, these are all biblical. So let us not judge someone who worships God in a different way than us, which is biblical. Whether that is our brothers or whether that is the worship team who's trying very hard to help you to worship God. Amen. So weird is not expressive worship. I would rather say weird is someone who sings, I will worship with all of my heart, but sings it with a blank face and without any heart. I'm going to share a last thing about personality. I'm a phlegmatic, so what does it mean? It means I'm quite laid back, take forever to make decisions, you know, I'm definitely not expressive, I think, as I shared. You know, and as a worship team, we sometimes watch videos of how worship was, so that we can learn. So we look at different things, and we obviously want to learn to be better. But I must say, when I look at myself, often the words passion and heart definitely doesn't come to mind. There's a few other words that come to mind. But I had to ask myself, you know, when I watch a sports game and my team scores, there's something that stirs in my heart. You know, I will even jump off the couch with my fists in the air and say, yeah, if my team scores. But somehow I disconnect that from worship. Just find my place. So, and when I thought about it, guys, I realized that, I mean, what a non-event is a sports game and my team scoring compared to the fact that my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven. I mean, that's something to celebrate daily and on a Sunday morning when we get together. So, guys, engaged worship is not reserved for certain personalities. It's like I can't say I'm phlegmatic, so I'm going to be unfriendly or lazy as a disciple. Amen. So let's continue to learn and grow. Guys, if I look at our culture, I must say, I don't think this is something that we are very strong in. And again, I'm not... The question is not how many hands are in the air on a Sunday morning. That is not what it's about. I really want to make that clear. But it's about heart. You know, it's about that fire that you can see in someone's eyes because he's connected to God and he's worshiping him. And I think some brothers are definitely better with it than others. And sometimes some Sundays are better than others. I think even the worship we had just now, I mean, that felt quite engaged and passionate. But I think in general, I don't think it's a strength for us. And I must say, I play guitar, so I was quite buried in my notes, you know, just to make sure I don't make a mistake. And more recently, I've tried to look up a bit at the church, you know, to try and connect and engage with the church a bit more. And I must say, guys, it's quite discouraging to sort of see a sort of a sea of blank faces while you are sort of pouring your heart into it. Or someone chatting with the brother next to him while the rest of the church is worshiping God. Or maybe strolling in sort of 10 minutes after the service has started. I mean, everyone is there worshiping God. And I say it's just not encouraging. You know, you see those few who try. You know, you always say there's a few guys who really try to go there, and maybe they want to sort of put up their hand, but you know, sort of, please don't judge me kind of thing, you know. So guys, I really want to call us higher to a point where that our culture is passionate as we see in the Bible. Where if you walk into church, the general feel is passionate. Where if someone is there and they are tempted to chat to the person next to them, I mean, they can see, geez, these guys are worshiping God. I mean, this is what they do. So let that rather stand out than the one or two brothers who is trying to be engaged. Amen. Amen. And guys, I think for a lot of us, it's not that we have bad thoughts. I think it's often just a question that we're not focused on a Sunday morning. You know, and as with all repentance, it's a choice. It's a choice on a Sunday morning to engage. Now, it's like when I don't feel like being friendly, it's a choice to be friendly. In the same way, if I arrive on a Sunday morning and my mind is scattered, it's a choice to worship God. It's a deliberate choice to take our thoughts, our worries, our concerns, to park them and to say, I'm here now, I'm here to worship God. Amen. Guys, I think that's my story. I want to summarize. Let's continue to learn how to acclaim God. Let's start from this Sunday to make those good choices when we arrive, to engage. Because ultimately, guys, we said, God is worthy to be praised. There's tremendous personal benefit to us when we worship God. And man, it encourages those around us tremendously. Amen.